Okay. Today I'm going to be trying to explain something that you already know, and many talks we heard yesterday and today were pointing towards using the new technologies on seeing what we have in the germplasm collections. And my work is focused on the peach. I'm a peach breeder, so everything I say today is from the focus of the breeding. So if I miss something that you have in mind, it's just because I'm looking for the new variability in the peach. So the material in the Prunus collection, a peach Prunus collection that's held at Davis in California, is collected all around the world. Many accessions are donated, many are collected on the various strips, and many are actually cultivated or released varieties that are in various stages on the breeding programs in the US dating back 60, 70 years or more. So this map just shows you where the material is coming from, and we all know that peach is native to China, so all the wild relatives come from China. The collection has wild relatives along with the Prunus persica, which is peach, that we all know and use, and these lines do not represent the number of accession, it's just to state which countries contributed to the collection and where we collected material and have it in the collection. Collection has material in a different, collected different ways, sometimes with the seed and mostly with the seed when it's coming from outside of the US because of the quarantine issues, and many times with as a cuttings. So if it's collected as a seed, usually 10 to 12 seeds are germinated and labeled in sequential numbers, and up to now we didn't have actually a good idea what the variability among these seeds are, because they are seeds, so there could be variability among them and could not, because the peach is self-pollinating, so it might be just exactly the same or very little variability. The main reason of my focus on the peach collection is, as a breeder, I'm always looking for the new sources of variability, and we all know that peach is really narrow in the genetic diversity, so the natural look is to look at the diversity of the collection. Unfortunately, what we know about the material in the collection is not much. Majority of that is peach. And most of the data we have in green is mostly descriptive type, not really of use for the breeders. There has been done some molecular work with the SSR markers, but because it's so expensive and takes a lot of time, it just provided some initial information about the diversity, but not the detailed work. So we need more work to see what's going on there and what is the potential source to solve some problems that we have now or we anticipate having in the future. In this graph you can see, as I already said, the majority is the peach collection, and among these 560 accessions that I collected, got from the repository to analyze, what repository has as the information on the accession states that we have wild relatives from Davidiana, Mira, Kansuensis, and Ferganensis. We have Prunus persica material. We have material that we don't know what it is, so it was labeled Prunus SPP. And we have material that is assumed to be a hybrid between peach wild relatives or within the wild relatives, so it's labeled Prunus hybrid. Just so you know, if you see the labels, what that means. So the methods, I'm not going to go into detail. We extracted the DNA. We use advantages of next-generation sequencing method, and because they were really cheap. And so we applied the genotyping by sequencing. We were really lucky that the method they developed for maize worked for peach. We are very fortunate that we have an excellent genome, so we can use it to compare the sequences that we got. We multiplexed 96 individuals in one line of sequences, and use the peach genome as a reference when we looked at the material or the data acquired. Further analysis we performed within the TASL and used FAST structure to determine the structure of the material that we analyzed. So within the results, I'll just quickly say within the TASL pipeline, you have to be careful what type of analysis you conduct and what are the parameters you use. We use just the default just to see what we have there. And by the default, they say anything that has 500,000 sequences unique barcode, you consider that a good data set. When we looked at the material and when we looked at the amount of SNPs we got, there were so many 86% of the material that we sequenced was by default in a good state and good data coverage. But we also saw that from 200 to 500,000, we have a material that was really not that many barcode sequence, but almost 100% of detected SNPs, which is basically biological reason. So you have to be careful when you analyze the data and not throw away anything or waste money on repeating on sequencing thinking that you're not getting enough of data back. So when we looked at the SNPs in all accessions, 509 is because the 10th was the reference genome. We ended up with over 300,000 SNPs. And you can see here a different level of or number of SNPs with different filtering. All of this will lead at the end to the genome-wide association studies that this data can be used. That's why I presented it like this. So you can see that even if you filter the SNPs that are present and keep those that are present only in 75% of the material, and which minor allele frequency is higher than 0.05, basically removing all rare alleles, you still end up with more than 30,000 SNPs, which is pretty good for dealing with the pitch. So this is just the distribution of the SNPs within the minor allele frequency category. As I said, almost 60% of them were in the rare category, and that's understandable because we had wild relatives where those rare alleles are coming from. So this is the phylogenetical tree using all of the material and all of the SNPs, and assuming that the records that the repository has are correct. So they're color-coded, with Prunus mira being red, Davidiana light blue, Ferganensis is somewhere here green, Cansuensis, there are only one or two, and I can hardly find them somewhere here, and Persica is of course black, Prunus hybrids were blue, and what we didn't know what it was labeled as a pink. So this is I kept the pitch genome sequence there just to see where it's going to line up, and to our pleasure, it aligned right next to itself. There are small differences, but that's just understandable because of the sequencing errors, but they were really, really on a low level. When we apply the population structure and we use the software called FastStructure that can accommodate 300,000 SNPs for 500 individuals, we got five groups, which is what we kind of expected, thinking that we have, okay, we have the Prunus davidiana, Mira, Cansuensis, Ferganensis, and Persica, and all of these others will fall into the places. Well, it didn't work like that. We definitely have Prunus davidiana and Prunus Mira in collection, and everything else fall under the Prunus Persica, into the different levels. So all of these hybrids, because they were between Persica and other wild relatives or between wild relatives, were falling in all other cultivar groups, and those are these lines that do not go all the way down. So when I looked at that, I investigated a little bit further, and then I created the map, which actually, unfortunately, led to the conclusion that we don't have Prunus ferganensis, we don't have Prunus cansuensis, and luckily, with this analysis, we could assign all unknown material where it belongs. Sometimes something that was assigned as Prunus persica was actually Prunus davidiana. Many Prunus davidiana, Mira, cansuensis, ferganensis ended up being persica, which we would expect. I also got confirmation with other colleagues when I talked about the results that there is an ongoing thinking that Prunus ferganensis doesn't actually exist, that's actually Prunus persica. And with this analysis, we actually confirmed that, because all of these labeling in the collection were done based on the notes taken in the field and phenotypic differences observed. So when focusing only on Prunus persica, you can see that we ended up with an even spread of SNPs across the 8 chromosomes, which gives us enough to do any other molecular studies and analysis of the material. You can hear, see here the details. We still ended up with 31,000 good SNPs that were present in 75% accessions with an allele frequency higher than 0.05. So still good data set to do any further analysis. Unfortunately, what we found out and confirmed long thinking and knowing that Prunus persica is highly homozygous. Only 89% of SNPs were present in only 5 to 10 individuals. So we did not, many SNPs were actually uniform across the material, which is what we suspected. But with 31,000, we knew when we did just a cross checking, we had about 1,500 SNPs in any given accession that would be polymorphic and informative, which this is the population structure done only on peach, which structures into the three groups, and within those groups are different collections collected from different regions. Sometimes they were really similar, but sometimes one or two accessions labeled under the same label name actually structured differently, which gives us insight in what we actually have in the collection. So what's good all of this unless we know what's behind phenotypically? So all this talk is just to set up like a stage for actually the further work. And so within this project, we did a quick and cheap phenotyping for the ash amounts to determine the water use efficiency of the material. And I attempted to do the genome-wide association, including the population structure within the data set. And we actually found that there are several SNPs that deemed to be significant for the water use efficiency in the Prunus. Now we know, we all know with the climate change how drought is becoming a bigger issue and water resources are declining. So this would serve as to point for these individuals that have those markers that point to the higher water use efficiency, so we can actually take that material from the collection, graft it in our environment, and do some physiological studies to actually determine what does that really mean and how we can implement that into the breeding. So this is basically almost covered, that we now have a way to find more about the Prunus collection. In combination with green phenotypic data, we can actually do some genome-wide studies, preliminary. We are now currently doing the phenotyping for other traits that are relative to the breeding programs, which will make this data set even more valuable. And we also this also can serve as a in silico playing areas for you to find maybe potential sources of the resistance, because if you heard a talk in the fruit breeding session, Rosebreed came up with the various markers on the different fruit quality traits that you can test in this material and find new sources. So this is the source funding sources that provided money for this work, and all of the people that helped with this work, because it's not only me. That's what I had, and thank you for attention. Thank you.